History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25 years old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi, and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're speaking with Jacqueline Donaldson, the Deputy Mayor of Blacktown City in New South Wales. How are you doing, Jacqueline?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Now, I always love to chat to one of our elected representatives and find out a bit of their story. Tell us a little about where you were born and raised.
Okay, I was actually born in Wellingborough, Northamptonshire in the UK. Grew up most of my time in London. And then my parents came to Australia when I was 17. So my mother always said that most men in their midlife crisis bought a red car, but my dad moved us all to Australia.
Okay. And what about your upbringing? Did you have any religious foundation in your life?
No, I didn't. My mum took us to Sunday school when I was very young, so about 3 through to about 5 or 6. And then my younger sister was born, and so she sort of, her reasoning was she couldn't get us all ready for Sunday school while she had a baby. So at 7, which when I look at my grandson now is quite incredible, I made a decision to follow the Lord. And I am, at this stage, the only member of my family that is Christian.
And tell us about your conversion story. Was it a blinded by the light experience, or was it a gradual thing?
No, it was quite amazing. I'd continued to go to church from when I was sort of young, and but I went to a Uniting Church in England. I'd grown up in the Methodist Church, but this was a Uniting Church, and it was very much a social gospel. So I don't think I actually ever heard about making Jesus the Lord of my life. It was all about, you know, being Jesus' hands and feet, about going out and going out and helping people. And so, as the Lord always does with these coincidences of his, what happened was that I went with a friend to a prayer meeting in England, and I have to tell you, it was the most boring prayer meeting I'd ever been to in my life. There were sort of 6 old ladies and the 2 of us. And then when I came to Australia, I went to a church that was close to my house, and it just happened, as it is with God coincidences, that it was their annual anniversary day. And because it was their anniversary day, there was a guy there who only came to that church for their anniversary because he was living away from the area. And he invited me to a meeting, he and his girlfriend. And I said to them, oh, you know, yeah, okay, maybe I'm on my own. I'd only been in Australia about 5 weeks. And they said, oh, it's a Fountain Trust, like a Fountain Trust meeting. Well, this was this boring prayer meeting that I'd gone to in England. So I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure that I really want to go to this, but I went anyway. Well, there were 50 young people in a lounge room, basically, in an old house, and they were just praising God, and they were worshipping God, and there was, you know, tongues and prophecies and words of knowledge. And I watched them, and I thought, I don't have this. I don't have this kind of Christianity. My Christianity was go to church on Sunday, be part of the Sunday school, but he wasn't really. So I feel he was my saviour, but not my Lord. He didn't run the rest of the week. He wasn't Lord in every single day. And so a couple of weeks later, they invited me to a gospel businessman's breakfast. And I went, and the sermon, you know, the speakers didn't really impact on me. But there was a redheaded singer, and I can see her as clear today. And she sang about, being on your own and how you're never alone with God. And that just impacted me more than any of the other things that had happened. And then it was almost like an audible voice. It was so clear. It said, you know, it's not last week or next week, it's now. And that I choose you. So they said to me, did I want prayer? So I went out for prayer, and these gorgeous people, they prayed a salvation prayer with me, and then they said, do you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I had no idea what that was, but I figured if it was something God wanted to give me, I was going to want it. So I said yes, and I was prayed for, spoke in tongues, and been walking in the Spirit ever since.
What an awesome story. And it's amazing how, you know, one of those anointed songs can be one of the things that tips the scales for you and gets you across the line. Must have been a powerful presentation, hey?
I think it probably wasn't that powerful, but it just really impacted on me.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was just a very simple song and very simply sung, beautifully sung.
Yeah.
But it really, really impacted on me.
And did everyone notice the change in your life after that?
Yes, they did. my poor family, I shared the gospel vigorously, as you do when you're first saved. But also, too, it was about, you know, I'd had a boyfriend that wasn't a Christian and just so strong in not not being unequally yoked now. And so I, you know, dumped my boyfriend, as it were. But I just knew that I could not be with someone who didn't love God. And so moved on and, lots of changes, like reading my Bible, sharing Jesus with people, and just in those days going to a lot of Holy Spirit teaching seminars in Sydney that used to be held in the town hall, and they were just amazing, just really, really grounding, grounding teaching on the Holy Spirit and who He is and how He moves in our lives. And I was listening last night to one of the sermons, and it was about the power of the Holy Spirit in our life and how we need the Holy Spirit to make it not a burden to be a Christian. Like you hear people talking about, oh, you know, if you're a Christian, you're a wowser and things like that. But it's not. There's the most amazing freedom in being filled with the Holy Spirit and moving as He tells you to move.
Well, it's so good to hear that you've been inspired by Christian radio. And, you know, we'll pray for the leaders of our nation and those in public office. Tell us a bit about your career. How did you get involved in council?
I actually was going out on a Wednesday night with a feeding program from a local church, not my own church, but a different one. And one of my students, because in my other hat I'm a teacher, one of my students said to me, Miss, you have to come to the feeding program. And so on a Wednesday night, this particular organisation called Christ Mission Possible, which I love, they would take out a hot meal. So they start on a Wednesday morning, they cook all day basically and prepare this amazing meal and invite people in the housing commission area. So I have to say that my ward has 54,000 people in it. That's one, the ward that I actually represent. And we have 14 housing commission or public housing suburbs in my ward. So there's a lot of borderline poverty in a way in the ward that I represent. And so anyway, I was going out on this Wednesday evening, going out. And every time I'd go, I'd notice that the public housing areas had more rubbish, the lights weren't as good. And I felt there were things that council could help with and could do something about. So a friend of mine who was a councillor at the time, I said to him, why aren't you doing something about this? And he basically said, well, why aren't you? So I ran the next election. We had no money, and my daughter-in-law is from the Philippines, and so we got canvases from the Philippines because we couldn't afford Corflutes. And I got all my hats and my shirts from there, which... actually, and then my daughter-in-law's family got a little bit of money from that, from doing the sort of deal, as it were. But we had no money, and I was so surprised to get in. And I never, ever take getting in for granted. I always feel like it's God. So the next time I ran again, and I got in with a swing towards me again, and that's how it started. So it started by sort of doing something totally different that was about, you know, helping people and being part of this other church group to being a councillor. And then in September of last year, I became the deputy mayor. And at the moment, which I think is quite funny, but it's my warped sense of humour, I'm actually the acting mayor, and I'm the first female ever in the history of Blacktown City to be an acting mayor. So I'm quite proud of that, but I also find it quite funny.
Well, it is wonderful to hear a bit of your story. And, you know, my brother used to be a physio at Blacktown. I used to visit him there many years ago. So yeah. I know a little bit of the area. Well, what would you say are the biggest problems that you're facing in your part of Australia at the moment?
I actually think the biggest problem we're facing is the perception of who we are. Because Blacktown used to be very much working class, all public housing, and that's really changed dramatically. And that perception means that, you know, businesses don't want to come and invest in our area. We find the government doesn't want to bring branches of their services into our area, which would be really helpful. It would actually bring work to the people who desperately need it in our area. So we have the problem that the people that are working are mainly working outside of the Blacktown area. They commute. And so, as you've probably seen on TV, those dreadful traffic snarls that we have in Sydney. So a lot of that is caused by not having work in the immediate area. And so people have to travel in to Parramatta or to the city. And that perception that there's no work here can actually sort of really stop the economy of the city. Now, having said that, our GDP is larger than 60 countries in the world. And we have 330,000 people of 184 nations and 150-something, I can't remember the exact figure, languages. So we're an amazing, diverse city, absolutely amazing. But when you hear people talk about Western Sydney, they'll talk about Parramatta and Penrith, and it's like we're the gap in the middle. And that really frustrates me. And one of the things I'm really sort of pushing at the moment is that we get a rebranding and that we really try and lift the name of Blacktown from what it used to be to what it is now. Because we still have relatively cheap housing, we have lots of young working families moving into the city every year. And we're supposed to grow to close to 500,000 by 2020. So it's a good time to be here because it's quite dynamic, it's changing. And I guess the biggest problem would be employment, and especially employment of the young. But we're really working on trying to turn that around.
And tell us a bit about your Christian faith and politics. Do the two blend well together?
Not always, no. I had been part of a political party for close to 20 years and recently became an independent over a moral stand that I had to take about a candidate for the mayor. And it was very, very difficult because I had been involved in the party for so long, and as a Christian, and I knew Christians within the party, but unfortunately someone was being pushed forward that would really have been detrimental to the council if that person was mayor. And so I actually resigned from the party and didn't vote for him, which, yeah, there was a pretty strong backlash from some members of the party, but surprisingly a lot of others thanked me for doing what I did. But for me, politics is a way to open doors to speak for Christ, and that's what I see it as. I get to go to places I would never have gone to if I wasn't a counsellor. And I was saying to you about the Ahmadiyya Mosque, which is an Indian or Pakistani mosque that's close to where I live. And two Sundays ago, I got to speak to over 3,000 of these Ahmadiyya Muslims about Christ. And I sort of started in a bit of a, you know, jokey way with some interesting facts about Christmas, you know, like the spider web on Christmas trees in Poland because they believe that the spiders wove the blanket for Jesus. And so just things like that. But then got to share John 3:16 and that the greatest gift and the whole focus of Christmas is about Christ and about him being the Lord. And I even got to say about how, you know, he died and he was resurrected and is now seated on the right hand of the Father. So I was so excited about that opportunity to share both with the men and with the women. And I would never get those opportunities if I was just me. It's my role as deputy mayor or as councillor that opens those doors. You know, I get to open a lot of church events, and I kind of figure that if it's a church event that I can speak about Jesus, and that's exactly what I do. So I love it. I love that it opens that door for me and enables me to share my faith.
Well, let's pray that those seeds that are sown will bear much fruit. I know I've been speaking to a lot of people recently who've heard about Muslims having dreams of Jesus.
Yeah, and I've heard that on your radio station as well.
Mm. Yeah, so let's hope and pray that there'll be a mighty move of God there in Blacktown. And I know that you've got such a passion as a lay preacher. You're involved. Tell us about the church you're involved with as well.
I'm involved in a very interesting church. I go to a Filipino church. I would say 99.9% of the time I'm the only Anglo there. Everybody else is Filipino. But fortunately, the Filipino young people haven't learned Tagalog, so everything's in English, which is really good for me. And if they do, if anyone goes into Tagalog, you know, half a dozen people will turn to tell me what they've said. So it's an amazing church. It's called God is Good Mission Church, and that's what it is. Our pastors don't take a pay from the church. Everything goes into mission. They do medical missions to the Philippines. They run schools, and they run, well, not run, but they help with a couple of orphanages. In the Philippines, the kids work from a very young age if it's a poor area. And so my church will send, you know, materials so they can go to school, and we'll finance these kids. We finance the kids of an entire village so that they could all go to school and not have to work. And when the people from my church go on holiday, my church gives them $500 and they will run a feeding program wherever they go. Or one of them bought $500 worth of like $1 thongs, slip-ons, and took them because the kids in some of the areas don't even have anything on their feet at all. So I love being part of it. It's one of those churches that when they always have like a welcome time, but I reckon ours is the longest welcome time of any church I've ever been to because they just hug you and kiss you and, you know, everybody just has this amazing thing. And I remember the first time I went, I thought, oh, yeah, you know, that's because I'm new. Now, you wait till next week, being very cynical. And I've been there for about 12 years and every week is exactly the same.
Isn't that great?
And when I have elections, they come out and help me on polling booths, and they're just wonderful. It's a wonderful group of people.
This is how the world will know we are his disciples, if we have love for one another, hey?
Very much so. And as I said, my pastor is just amazing. He doesn't take an income from the church, and because he doesn't believe that he should. He's a computer programmer, so he can make a living doing that. So he doesn't feel that he should take money from the church, so that more money can go into really evangelizing and, you know, helping those that are poor.
Well, it is inspiring to hear your story today. And we've been chatting with Jacqueline Donaldson, the Deputy Mayor of Blacktown City. And it is wonderful to know that you're a Vision Radio listener and a supporter. And our prayers and support are with you as well. Thank you for your time today. I reckon you're a history maker.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.